I have a conflict, and I will have to recuse myself from this case.
Case number 12,532, John H. Legg seeks a special use exception to operate a rifle or pistol range, sections 115-23 and 115-210 of the Sussex County Code. The property is located on the northeast corner of Gravel Hill Road, Route 30, at the intersection of Benham Switch Road and Gravel Hill Road. The 911 address is 20093 Gravel Hill Road, Georgetown. The zoning district is AR1. Tax parcel is District 135, Map 11, Parcel 82. The applicants are seeking a period of 5 years for this special use request. We have 0 letters of support, 9 letters of opposition, a petition with 91 signatures in opposition, and 0 mail return.
Before we start, I'd like to piggyback off what Mr. Sharp had said earlier. I know we understand through reading the application exhibits that there might be some emotion on either side tonight. We as a board want everybody to be heard, but to be able to achieve this, we ask that any comments or noise be held till it's your turn to speak. If you can't comply with this, it hinders us as a board from doing our job to the best of our ability, and we reserve the right to ask you to leave the premises. Okay. Initially, what I had said was to piggyback off Mr. Sharp's statement. We understand through reading the application exhibits that there might be some emotion on either side here tonight. We as a board want everybody to have a chance to be heard, but to be able to achieve this, we ask that any comments or noise be held until it's your turn to speak. If you can't comply with this, it hinders us as a board from doing its job to the best of our ability, and we reserve the right to ask you to leave the premises. Is the applicant present? Good evening.
Good evening. I'm here on behalf of the applicant. It's a little strange because this particular property has been in this state of use for generations. And originally it was zoned for the use, and then it was taken into AR, which we could not understand that, whether it was a typographical error on part of the county or what happened, but it's been in continuous use. In that regard, what I'd like to do is have the owner explain the history of this property, and then some of the people who have been using it for a long period of time. One of the questions I have for us tonight is the zoning that you have in front of you says AR, is that correct?
Sir, could you take your mask down? It's hard to hear, sort of mumble.
Okay.
Thank you.
On the application, it does say AR1.
Yeah. And yet, when this was purchased, it was not AR. It was zoned light industrial. And if you check your records, you'll see it was zoned light industrial.
Can we check into that?
We have done some research, and it's historically always been AR1. I think it's non-conforming use leads back to where the commercial use of the property was prior to zoning. We looked into that prior to this application, decided that that may take a different route as far as the commercial use of the property, but the shooting range still requires approval, whether it was zoned commercial or AR1.
So either way, we're here for the same reason.
For this.
Okay, well, I'm going to introduce the owner, have him explain the use of the property, and it has been in this state for many, many years. So in that regard, Jackie?
Mr. Sharp, can you hear what you're saying?
Yeah.
If you would be sworn in with Mr. Sharp.
Excuse me, can you state your name and address for the record?
I'm sorry, I can't hear.
Can you state your name and address for the record?
John H. Legg, at 21 Carter Brew Road, Beach, Delaware.
And do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Mr. Legg, would you tell us when you acquired the property?
Yeah, I'm thinking it's approximately around 12 years ago.
And what was its use when you acquired the property?
It would be light industrial, because we have a construction company there called Land Prep. We did the site works and all the Thorny outlets and all that.
And was the property used as a gun range at the time?
Yeah, the people from Interstate Ammo site used to hunt it. They started the gun range back there. And it didn't get shot very much, but then we built it up bigger, put the bigger berm, and started shooting ourselves.
And did you charge for that, or was it just for a hobby?
Just friends.
Now, is it used by anybody now?
Yes, Ronnie uses it.
Okay. And Ronnie here tonight?
Yes.
Okay.
Mr. Hagan?
Yes.
Can you come forward?
Yes. Good evening.
Now, are you getting any fees for this service?
No. No fees. It's just... I let friends use it.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions of him right now?
Yeah, before we bring him up, does anybody have any questions for this gentleman?
You're just using it and no charge for shooting at any time, or you get hours or anything, or nothing?
No
like
charge,
that?
Yeah.
No charge?
Nope. It's just there, the construction site. We use shooter guns there because it's a perfect spot, because it's protected there.
He's got berms all the way around it?
Oh, what?
Berms? I mean...
Yeah. Yeah, big berm and all they shoot into.
Okay. You shoot rifle, pistols?
Just rifle, but mainly pistols, but once in a while somebody shoot a rifle.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Hold on 1 second, just in case we've got any other questions for him. You got any other questions for this gentleman? No. Mr. Sharp, do you have any questions for him?
I think I'd like to hear the rest of the presentation. I'm sure I'm going to have some, but I recognize that they've got another witness. I'd kind of like to hear that and perhaps the major's comments. I'd like to see what their full presentation is.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Hagan is an expert in this area, and he is going to be able to give you the details of the safety procedures and the legality of the location of other residences in the neighborhood.
Mr. Hagan? You have to be sworn in first.
Yes,
sir.
Good evening. Please state your name and address for the record.
Ronald Hagan, 13233 Summer Drive, Milton, Delaware.
And do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Would you identify who you are and what you would your background is?
Okay.
And also say, please.
Okay. Gentlemen, ladies. My name is Ron Hagan. I'm a lifelong Sussex County resident. Growing up outside of Lewis and now living outside of Milton. I'm a 37-year member of the Volunteer Fire Service, and I'm a retired Delaware State Police captain, retiring in 2014 after 30 years of service. My business partner, Hank Rickards, is a lifelong Sussex County resident as well, a retired Marine Corps veteran. Myself, Hank, and our wives are the owners of American Responder Services, which is a business that Mr. Legg has allowed us to use free of charge to conduct live fire training for our classes. The name of our business was developed from our service as volunteers, firefighter, law enforcement, and military veterans. We've been American Responder Service, American Responders our entire lives, so it's only fitting to continue to provide to our community. In this case, we're providing the tools and the training for our citizens, which could save their lives or someone else's. ARS began as a training consulting business in January of 2018 and grew into a firearms training and retail business with a focus on home and self-protection. Our motto was being armed and educated, because we know being firearm owners is a responsibility, and to be armed, you must be educated in the safe and proper handling of firearms. As such, we offer a variety of training classes, some with live fire and others without, as well as one-on-one private training. We're located on Hebron Road just outside of Rehoboth. We hold a federal firearms license, Delaware deadly weapons dealer license, and Delaware retailer license. From our humble beginning of one firearm instructor, myself, to a current cadre of 9 instructors, all of whom have been certified by the United States Concealed Carry Association. Several of our instructors are also prior law enforcement firearms instructors, as well as NRA firearms instructors and range safety officers. Before all live fire classes, we go over firearm safety rules to include what to do in case of a medical emergency. When on the range with a live fire class, we do our best to maintain no less than a 3-to-1 ratio of student to instructor. This is done to provide the best instruction while ensuring safety and strictly follow and make sure that students are strictly following all the safety rules. You may have heard shooting goes on 30 to 50 hours a week and after dark. This is not true and could not be further from the truth. While the training has increased over the past 3 years, especially in the last 12 months, due to COVID-19, civil unrest, and the threat to restrict the purchase of certain firearms, ARS has never shot on the range after dark and is only shot after sunset 2 or 3 times to simulate low light conditions or to finish a late running class. This week, I tallied our total range hours year to date. Since January 1st of this year, we've conducted 13 live fire classes and 10 private one-on-one lessons for a total of 51 hours of range time. All those being on Tuesdays, Thursdays, or Saturdays. This weekend, we also did some distance measurements as well as some sound level testing to find out what those sound levels were. The closest property was 180 yards from the range. The other one was 185 yards. And that was not to the residence, that was to the edge of the pond closest to the residence, which butt up to Route 9. Some of the sound decibel testing that we did was from several different locations. I do have it on video if any of you would like to see that testing and see the decimals readings as well. The ambient noise level ran around 49 to 50 dBs. From 10 feet behind the firing line, I had two readings, one high readings, one of 93 dBs, the other one of 85 dBs. From 100 feet away, directly behind the firing line, we had a high reading of 81.5 dBs. From 200 feet away, we had a reading of 81.3 dBs. I then went to 2 separate locations between the range and the pond on the range side of the property. From that location, I had 2 readings, high readings, one of 80.9 and one of 74.8. The second location, I had 2 readings, one of 76 and one of 68.3. I then moved to a closer location and ranged that location to be 80 yards from a bungalow, which is on the back of one of the properties. During the shooting there, I had a high decimal level of 69.4 during the shooting. I then went out onto Route 9 and did noise level testing. And with the general traffic, I had high readings of 79.8, 81.7, 84, and 85, all of which are just as high or higher than when we were 10 feet away, when I was 10 feet behind the line of fire when they were shooting. And I have all this recorded on video. The ambient sound level of the traffic traveling on Route 9 is higher than 100 feet away from the range. Over the last couple of years, we've been using the range and made several enhancements to include deepening the backstop, making it higher and angling the ends to further enhance the safety and reduce the noise. Prior to all this occurring, we had also obtained Mr. Legg's approval to make some additional improvements to the range, which would include lining both sides and the back with the large waste concrete that you see in landscapes, where landscape businesses where they pile the mulch and things like that. We're going to do the sides and the back of that in hopes of also reducing the noise levels as well. We haven't done it pending the outcome of this hearing. As a business, we've also made a significant financial investment purchasing a live fire simulator at our shop to reduce the amount of live fire that we would do on the range, trying to simulate it in the shop instead of going to the range for live fire. That being said, unfortunately, live fire is required in order for Delaware residents to obtain their concealed carry permit. The state of Delaware requires you to fire 100 rounds and show your competence in safe handling of a firearm in order to obtain that permit. If we were shut down, that would basically alleviate our ability to provide firearms training to current and retired police officers, as well as the citizens of our community, for them to enjoy their Second Amendment right of obtaining a concealed carry permit. And should the state go forward with one of the current bills that's in legislation, the permit to purchase, the state is going to further require additional training in order to even purchase a firearm. And this, the loss of Mr. Legg's range would further inhibit that ability of all of our citizens. I can assure you, as a resident of the community and very concerned with the safety and ensuring that everybody is properly and safely handling firearms, that I'm going to make sure that that is done on the range when myself and my employees are out there teaching. I would also note that the legal distance of fire from a residence is 300 feet. We're much more than 300 feet, almost double 300 feet away from any residence from where we're shooting. And again, we also do train local and retired police officers for some of this training as well.
That completes your
question? That completes, yes, sir.
Do you have the video?
I do, sir.
I would like to see the video.
I certainly would also.
Excuse me just a second.
And just so that Mr. Fuchs, so you're aware of this, if it's a jump drive, we have the ability to put it on here, but if it's something other than that, we need to have the ability to be able to save it into the record. So if you're planning to just put up your laptop and show it to us, we can't take that. It's got to be something that we would have in a jump drive capacity after talking to our IT.
Are they smart TVs that I can mirror to?
I don't believe they are. Ms. Norwood, do you know the answer to that?
I'm not sure, but we could check with our IT specialist if you want.
I know I talked to him earlier today. It needed to be in a jump drive type capacity.
I would have to download, which I don't have the equipment with me to do that right now.
Okay. Well, we'll see if the IT has a way to do that, but unfortunately we can't. Yeah, it's like somebody bringing up a phone saying, hey, I've got this on my phone. We don't have that capability to transfer that. So if we can, we certainly can. That goes for anybody here as well.
While we're figuring that out, do you have any more questions for this gentleman?
So, sir, do you take money for the training or the
yes sir I do
you do
yes
so,
sir I do
so yes. He's making you're making money at training.
Yes, sir. I wouldn't be in business if I wouldn't make money.
Yeah, I get right. So when he said everything was free, I get right. So I mean,
no,
you can't do that.
No, Mr. Legg does not charge us, but obviously I charge because that's what I'm in business to do.
Yeah. Yes. Okay,
what's the maximum number of shooters you think for your live fire classes?
Normally, we limit it to 12. 12 per class.
Right. Multiple classes per day?
No, sir. Normally, we have had multiple classes a day, but it's very rare. Over the winter, if we have a bad weather day, sometimes we'll make up a morning shoot from a previous weekend where we weren't able to shoot because of weather, and then we'll have an afternoon shoot as well. Sometimes on Saturdays, we'll do private one-on-one classes, and then in the afternoon, they'll have the class from the shop come out to do their live fire for their concealed carry permits.
So you were saying the state police get recertified there?
No, sir, not state police. I do some private training with police officers to enhance their abilities as law enforcement officers with the training that I have. The state police do not do any training there, and I don't have any contracts with any law enforcement agencies. It's all private law enforcement officers that I teach one-on-one.
Yeah, okay.
Or one of my other instructors will teach one-on-one.
And my son-in-law, I got to get recertified every time, and I didn't know if you're doing it for the state police to be recertified, but you're not.
No, sir, no. Okay. The state police require their instructors to be currently employed by the state police.
Yeah, okay.
You said the safe firing distance was 300 feet?
State law requires you to be 300 feet away from any residence before firing a firearm.
And just to understand you correctly, you said both those homes, and not just where the home is situated, you said you referenced a pond?
Yes, sir, there's a pond.
Was that 185 yards or was that 180 yards?
No, there's 80 from the edge of the pond. There's a couple of different places on the pond where you can stand out. One of the locations where I was at, there's a jet out from the side. And from that location, I was 80 yards from the...
If you wish, sir, there's a way that you can, if you wanted to draw on that screen there. We do have that smart TV capability, so...
Need to show them where the range is.
Can you show us where the shooting range is at? You just got a big...
This is the shooting range here. It's not marking. This is the shooting range here, the backstop.
Okay.
And we shoot in this direction here.
So you got woods completely all around?
Yes, sir. The locations where I took the readings, the decimal readings that I discussed, were right here at the firing line, 100 feet away, and then 200 feet away. The other locations I took the decimal readings were... This area is also wetlands now, or wet water under it, underwater. But there's probably, you can see it in that picture. I can't quite see it in this one. That one gives you a little bit more. You can see the dark blue area. That's water. So just
so that we have it in the record, what I'm hearing from you is that. That kind of, if we're looking at the aerial, that little kind of enclave to the right-hand side of the property, about mid-distance, is where the range would be. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And you're shooting parallel to Benham Switch Road. Correct. That looks like as it's heading east.
Correct, yes, sir.
So you'd be shooting to the east side of the property.
Correct, yes, sir.
And how far is the berm from the edge of that property that you're shooting?
I'm not sure exactly where the edge of the property is. There's a tax ditch that runs down just to the left of the yellow line. We're about 30 yards, probably 20 yards to the west of that tax ditch.
Where the berm is, or where you're shooting?
Where the berm is.
Okay, so you said 30 yards away, you said?
Probably 20 from the tax ditch.
On that screen, can you point out with the marker where the two houses, the two closest homes are to you?
The actual distance that I measured was not the home on this side. It was actually the edge of the pond. Okay. And that was 180 yards from the range, from where we were shooting.
Okay. That's the only range you have right there?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir. So the best I can see from this, it's a little hard to take, but the last measurement that I So it was from right about there, and it was 80 yards to this bungalow here. It was 80 yards, and the highest reading I had at that point was 69.4 decibels.
So the mark that you just, where you took the reading, you're roughly 350, 360 feet from your shooting range to that mark, is that correct?
The overall distance, again, was 185 yards from the range to the edge of the pond. So I would say probably
close.
Right, yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. And then the other closest residence would be on the opposite side of Benham Switch Road. I think that was 180 yards by laser measurement. But again, this was to the edge of the measurement this way was to the edge of the pond, not to the homes.
Right. Now, is that pistols and rifle? Or you don't
yes,
do any
sir.
Rifle?
Yes, sir. We predominantly do handguns.
Okay.
Most customers use 9mm, but we do some AR shooting from time to time, especially with the law enforcement officers. And then we do sight firearms in time to time, especially during hunting season. We have a lot of people that come to us to sight their rifles in or shotguns.
Okay.
Good questions. Mr. Sharp, do you have any?
I do.
I'm sorry, Dr. Carson.
Mr. Dukes, why are we here tonight? What caused us to be here tonight?
I have no clue.
This has been going on.
Mr. Legg got a notice from the county that somebody had made a complaint.
Okay.
We do not know who that or what the nature of the complaint was.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Sharp.
This berm, how tall is the berm?
Probably 10 feet tall.
What kind of wood's it made out of?
Dirt.
Are there sides to it?
There's angled sides to it, and the sides are angled and they go down in height from the 10 feet.
How far out did they project?
The one side probably about 12 to 15 feet. The primary berm itself is about 35 feet wide.
And the you mentioned that there's a tax ditch nearby, and that's to the rear of where you'd be shooting. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
And the wetlands would be not in that area, but I guess it'd be to the left, facing the berm.
If you're facing the berm, the pond would be to the left, yes, sir, to the north.
Do you do any cleanup of the debris from the range?
Yeah, we pick up all the grass. We have not done any mitigation of the land from the range at this time, but we do pick up all the grass. We also graded the area and put stone down in front of the berm to make a safer area for the students to walk and work. But even still, when it gets wet out there, safety is always first, and we don't shoot when it's wet.
Okay, you said you've not done any lead mitigation. Explain to me what that would entail.
For some ranges, it entails a company coming in and digging the lead out. And then they basically, for them to dig it out, they take the lead as pigment.
Is there any concern about that leaching into the wetlands, the pond, or the tax ditch?
I don't have any concern with it. There's a lot of different research out there that shows, depending on the level of the water tables, it could be negligible, if any at all. Or, depending on the height of the water table, it could be a concern.
Water table high there?
I do not know, sir.
I see gravel hill is right across the street there, is that right?
Yes, sir.
And I drive by that often. I know that that's the Del Dot site, correct?
Yes, sir.
And then I believe across the street, across Route 9, there's another pond there as well.
Yes, sir.
And that tends to ebb and flow as we get wet
days. Rainy season, spring, and yes, sir.
What else is on this property here? I see looks like there's other activity there, and I don't know that I have a good understanding what this property is used for.
Mr. Light. Mm-hmm.
you're asking what tier you're using the property, what else uses are there, where are the uses?
On property, right?
Yeah.
Well, Shell Brothers have a, they rent part of it there to do their pavers and all that for landscaping and other developments. And we have a shop on the west side there, it's a power coating company and all. It's all on top of a building.
How many, I guess, does this interfere at all with your business? The businesses on the site?
What do you mean now?
Does this rain interfere with the businesses on site?
No, that don't care.
Now, looking at the application, and I may have misread it, so this is where I'm asking. It indicated that it would be 10 to 7 would be the hours of operation. Is that correct? Is that every day of the week?
Well, no, we, sometimes we shoot after all week, and sometimes we do it a couple days a week. Depends on how busy he is.
Okay.
I don't shoot very often myself.
Okay. Is the potential there that it could be 10 to 7 every day of the week?
Yeah, yes.
With multiple classes?
Yeah, it depends on his classes, he gets whatever, that's why we put 10 to 7 on it.
I noticed in, and perhaps this might be a question for Mr. Hagan, did I get that right?
Yes, sir.
If he could come back up. We had gotten in our materials some comments from opposition, and one of them noted that there was some concerns about shrapnel from the site. Would you care to address that at all?
Are you all parking on site?
No, like
shrapnel.
Ricochet,
something like that.
He stepped a little closer to the mic. I know it's kind of tight up there, but we would like to catch up.
I've seen shrapnel come backwards from a range, but going into a dirt berm through paper targets, the only shrapnel you would get would be maybe a piece of copper that would deflect off of the round and bounce back, but that usually only happens when you're shooting steel targets. When you're shooting paper targets into a dirt berm, the dirt, it goes into the berm and stays in the berm.
There was a, and again, we got this as part of the opposition, so I wanted to bring it up because it was something that was in the packet. There's a picture that appeared to be tweeted of a gentleman who got some shrapnel, and appeared to have been from American Responders.
Yes, sir.
I don't know if you've seen that.
Yes, sir.
That was in the packet. And I didn't know if you could explain what that was and perhaps the circumstances.
Yes, sir. That was a picture that came across on Facebook. And one of the things, again, that we talk about is the importance of safety, wearing proper protection on the range, hearing protection, eye protection, and a baseball cap. Because ricochets like that can happen, but I've only seen them happen like that when you're shooting steel targets.
You use steel targets on the
We do not use steel targets when we're teaching our classes. We have steel targets there, and we have shot them, but we've never had an issue like that whatsoever.
And
that picture from your site.
Yes, sir, it is.
I don't know if you heard me ask Mr. Legg about the hours of operation. Is it your intention to be able to be open 10 to 7?
Yes, sir. I made an agreement with the Mitchells last June that to be good neighbors, that as a business, we would only operate from 10 to 7. Once in a while, we might run a little late, depending on a student that was having problems that we're trying to finish. And only do it on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays. And we've upheld that agreement as a business since that agreement was made on June the 2nd with Mr. Mitchell on the telephone.
Is your application for that limitation to continue as a condition, or is that just?
This is not my property, but I intend to uphold that agreement that I made. I'm a man of my word, and I stand by that agreement. To my knowledge, Mr. Legg has no plans to make this a commercial range. It's only for private, for his friends and him, and for us to do our training classes out there. And I have no plans to expand. I think the 10 to 7 Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays is more than adequate for us to continue what we're doing.
I just want to also, just so that I have a better understanding of what's in the neighborhood. So as I'm looking at Benham Switch Road, I guess, on the other side, are those residents across the street?
Yes, sir. On the south side of Benham Switch Road, yes, sir.
On the north side of Benham Switch Road, on the other side of the tax ditch, is that farmland and woods?
Yes, sir.
And on the north side of the property, I guess it'd be lands that are along Lewis Georgetown Highway. Are those all residences there?
Yes, sir.
And how about on Gravel Hill Road between this property and Route 9? Are those residences or those businesses?
There is a residences there.
Okay. And then on the other side of Gravel Hill Road, I believe that's the Del Dot.
It's Del Dot. Yes, sir. Correct.
All right. I have no further questions at this time, but the board may have some for you.
I have a question, Ms. Jenny. The shooting range has been there, but when it went charging for it, that's what I have a special use exception in?
Yes. Friends and family, shooting on a property is not something we regulate, but
okay, so now since he went commercial, I mean, or letting charging, that's why you got to have a special use. That's why they're here now.
Right.
So somebody turned that in, and the county went out and called him, and that's why you got to have
right.
a special
there
use
was
exception.
A complaint, and then we research showed we hadn't been through this process for that use.
For that use. And you said you've been shooting there for how long?
I've been shooting. There was rain here when I bought it, but I didn't shoot there before 10 or 12 years, about 12 years ago.
Okay.
I've been shooting there for 12 years.
Yeah.
But people in our state, Amos, like, they used to shoot once in a great while. I think it's like to right with them or something for deer hunting is all.
Now, how long you been shooting there?
Sir, I've been shooting there since February of 2018.
2018?
Yes, sir. Prior to me, Mr. Richard Katz, who used to own Delaware Tactical or Delaware Firearms,
mm-hmm.
he was training there for a couple years before he passed away. It's also my understanding that that range was even used way back in the 60s for Boy Scouts to earn merit badges.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been there for a long time.
So you thought you were all right?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir. We weren't trying to do anything. We thought the property was commercial. I even researched the county looking for any particular ordinances, and I couldn't find any. Sometimes the county ordinances are a little bit difficult to navigate. I'm sure probably everybody here knows that. We are insured for the range, just like our business. I'm sure you understand that anything to do with a firearm is not cheap when it comes to insurance as well.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Further questions? Does that complete your...
We have some people that like to speak in favor of this.
Okay. We should handle the... Is that...
Yes. Mr. Dukes, are they just supporters, or are they going to be part of your presentation, Chief?
He has a...
Good evening. Can you state your name and address for the record?
Ray Donahue, 24305 Blue Crab Lane, Millsboro, Delaware.
And you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Just to let you guys know, I've been knowing Ron since he's been down here with American Responders and now moving over to Best Shot, Delaware. Probably one of the safest groups that I've ever dealt with. And I've been doing this for almost close to 55 years. So been around firearms and watching these guys do the classes that they do. Probably one of the highest quality groups that you can ever deal with.
Any questions?
Questions?
No. Right, thank you.
Good evening. Can you state your name and address for the record?
Yes, David Buchanan, 37176 Lord Baltimore Lane, Ocean View, Delaware.
And do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
As I said, my name is David Buchanan. I'm retired law enforcement from Montgomery County, Maryland. I was our range officer there for a period of time. I was on our tactical team for 12 years. Been a law enforcement fire instructor since 1980. I started working for Ron about 3 years ago, helping him out with these U.S. concealed carry classes. The there's a big difference from dealing with law enforcement officers and instructing them to civilians. It was pretty shocking because they simply, many times, are older. They have no experience whatsoever. And sometimes they don't listen as well. In law enforcement, you have more control over them because, number one, they're younger. They really don't know what they're doing. It's really their best interest to listen to what you're doing. So my transition into just teaching and assisting with non-law enforcement personnel, it's amazing how much more you have to emphasize the safety aspects. And I've really been impressed with Ron and the crew of how safe they are. Safety is the primary importance for them. There's no reason why you should be injured by these firearms in training or at home or when you have to use them. Their main emphasis is safety. And I've been very impressed with them. And I enjoy helping with the classes. And it's kind of interesting. We started a class that's called Handgun for Absolute Beginners. And I'm sorry to say that there are people 80 years old coming to this class due to the circumstances here in our country where people are actually afraid. People who have never handled a gun or even picked one up are scared and want to learn how to protect themselves. And it's our job to assist them in that endeavor. And I've been very impressed with the U.S. Concealed Carry courses on how they approach the safety and how we enforce that with all the students that we teach. I think the range situation that we have here, and I was also a law enforcement rep for a number of gun companies, including Heckler & Koch, LWRCI in Cambridge, Maryland, Mossberg, Springfield Armory, and my territory was from Virginia to Maine, and I did that for 15 years. So I've seen all kinds of ranges and all kinds of training. And for a small company to have the expertise in teaching people who know nothing about firearms, for me, is pretty impressive. I thank you for having this hearing, and thank you for listening to us. Thank you.
In conclusion, folks, I want to tell you this has been used for quite a number of years. It's needed in the community. It's the only one that exists on the east side of Route 113. It's handled professionally. And to be honest with you, if you look at the statute, there is no houses within the statutory limits, and it meets all the criteria of the standards established by the state of Delaware. Thank you very much for your time, but I do want to say that this was grandfathered in years ago. I don't know why the zoning was changed. Nobody can figure that out either. Here we are.
Sir, can I have the instructor come back up one more time?
Yes.
Ron? Yep.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. You're saying the you were going over the noise level. So your noise level was like an 80, like around a car going by. That's all it was.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was. You had to.
Yeah, I had a high of one of the. This was just regular vehicular traffic. One of them was 87, 84, 79. It was in the upper 70s the majority of the time with traffic going by.
Okay, and what was yours, the high?
I'm sorry, sir.
What was yours?
10 feet from the shooters, it was 93.
Okay.
100 feet was 81. And then when I was 80 yards from the bungalow on the backside of the property off of Route 9, which makes me about 300 feet from the range, I think the highest reading I had was 69.
69?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Is it possible shrapnel hit any of these houses?
No, no. The only, the, in terms of shrapnel, the only thing that would even come close to hitting one of those homes would be if it was directly fired at them. There's no way anything being shot at the berm of that range would ever come close to hitting any of those homes.
It'd have to be a rifle anyway, wouldn't it?
A handgun could hit them, yes, but through the woods and the distance, it would not be an accurate shot. You know, you're talking over 500 feet,
yeah.
600 in some cases. Handguns usually aren't very accurate, and usually if you're shooting at about a 100 yards with a 9mm, after you get past that 100 yards, it's going to drop significantly.
Mr. Sharp-Lake has a question.
Mr. Dukes, if I may.
Yes, I'm sorry.
So your point about your argument that it was grandfathered, we do not have before us a determination use application. This is just a special use application. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
So it's been used this way. The concrete plant was there when Fort Miles was built, because they disassembled that concrete plant, put it on the railroad, and went up there and poured the towers, and they brought it back. And that's been more than 1968.
I understand if there's an argument about the underlying zoning.
Correct, perhaps, yes.
You know, that you believe it is. I did check Light Industrial 1. This type of use would not even be permitted special use exception to that.
Right.
But whatever the construction use, that's not before us today. As far as the range goes, what I just want to understand from you is that this is not a request for a determination of use, that the range is a non-conforming use.
No, we're just trying to defend the use that we've been using for all these years, that's all.
Okay, so we've got a special use exception application before the board. That's the standard we're using tonight. Just to make sure we're on the same page.
I guess so. They seem to be confused when they went through the zoning was one, then it was light industrial, changed to AR. We cannot even figure that out. That's something that I guess that since there's been no complaints about what we're doing on that.
Well, we haven't advertised for that. They advertised,
right, correct,
for the special use exception. I just want to make sure that,
yeah,
you understood.
Oh, wait, I guess we'll have to wait until the next complaint on the use on the industrial.
Or whatever. Well, yeah. That's not before us tonight, and certainly if that issue were to come up, that would be your burden of proof.
Correct, yes.
But I just want to make sure we're clear, the issue before us is a special use exception just for the fire.
That's what I understand.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for the clarity.
Is there anyone present that is in favor of this application? In favor of this application? Any of those who have stood up that have not testified, would they like to say anything? Okay. Is there anyone present that is in opposition of this application?
Yeah, 14, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir. Okay, we would any of you like to speak? If you would, please raise your hand, and we'll go one by one here.